Imagine a world where the homes we live in, the clothes we wear, and even the sensors in our electronics weren't manufactured, but grown. Mycelium, the root structure of fungi, is shaking up everything from sustainable construction to meatless bacon. It's turning agricultural waste into walls, hemp into compostable packaging, and fungal threads into leather that even luxury brands are eyeing. This mushroom material is set to insulate the facade of a 300-unit housing project in California. And now innovators are swapping out the sensors of robots for the electrical pulses of living mycelium. So how long until mycelium is just as ubiquitous as wood, metal, and plastic? I'm Matt Farrell. Welcome to Undecided. This video is brought to you by Incogni. I get requests all the time to follow up on exciting breakthroughs that I've covered in the past. You know, a sort of where are they now for renewable technologies. With new uses for mushroom mycelium sprouting up in the newsfeed, I toured the farm of the company that pioneered it all, Ecovative. They walked me through the process of turning mushroom roots into versatile, sustainable materials. But first, what even is mycelium? When we think of mushrooms, we picture portobello caps, forest fungi, or maybe Smurfette's house. But these are just the fruiting bodies. The real magic of mushroom happens underground. Beneath the soil surface, a vast network of mycelium threads acts as both roots and stomach, digesting and absorbing organic matter. These threads, called hyphae, are tubular structures that intertwine to form lightweight, lattice-resembling foam. Dig into the forest floor and you'll find this white mycelium network weaving through dirt and wood, acting as a natural binder. This ability to glue loose materials together is what first fascinated Eben Bayer and Gavin McIntyre, the duo who dreamed up the mass farming and use of mycelium as a self-assembling, sustainable material. They mix mycelium with agricultural waste like corn stover or hemp herds, put it in a mold, and let nature do its thing. Fueled by plant matter, mycelium grows to fill the mold, forming an all-natural compostable foam. This happens fast. In just 4 days, a rigid mycelium structure is ready to be popped out of the mold, then grown for another 2 days until its surface is coated with a soft, velvety layer of mycelium. Once it's baked at a low temperature to stop the growth, it's ready for whatever application its creator thought up. For Bayer and McIntyre, that was mushroom packaging, which is the product that launched Ecovative into the green economy. Their packaging has been used by Dell, Steelcase, and Emma Watson's gin brand, with much of it manufactured under license in the US, Europe, and even down under. Today, the mycelium-based packaging market is valued at nearly $85 million, and as more companies adopt greener packaging, it's projected to grow more than 9% annually, reaching over $200 million by 2034. Ecovative's inventions didn't stop at packaging. While touring a massive indoor mushroom farm in the Netherlands, where mushroom caps are grown on straw and picked by hand, Bayer got the idea to grow mycelium indoors as giant mushroom slabs.
I saw rooms like this, these big beds, and I realized that this was like the most automated, scaled mycelium infrastructure on the planet, devoted to growing this one very specific monocrop. And I had the vision of this, like, hey, what if we could create this biopolymer in our lab at this scale at a really low cost?
This is the mycelium technology I went to see for myself. It's a novel mushroom architecture grown from a strain of oyster mushroom plucked off of a tree in Troy, New York. Forget the mulch, this is pure mycelium, and it's unlocking a whole new realm of material possibilities. Looks like the world might just be Ecovative's oyster. They're calling it air mycelium.
But yeah, this is 12 days worth of growth. And you can see it just has a nice tissue texture. So this is like the future of indoor farming.
That's Lacey Davidson, who let me pull a bit of the mycelium off with a glove.
Oh, wow. It's kind of tacky.
Yep.
That is wild.
This is low energy, low resource farming. Unlike plants, mushrooms don't need grow lights. In fact, mycelium hates light. It thrives in the dark on damp sawdust and wood chips, upcycling waste into versatile building blocks. Water use is minimized too.
You hydrate the wood chips, more water is released from the digestion of the wood chips. And then, while this room's really misty, we're mostly just recirculating this humid air that the moisture kind of respirates.
That moisture-laden air is blown around the indoor farm to mimic the mist and breeze of a forest. Once the mycelium reaches a point where it's fully matured, but not yet sprouting, the giant racks it's grown on transform into conveyor belts, sliding thick sheets of mycelium right off the ends for automated harvesting. On just 1 acre of land, Ecovative's mycelium farm produces 3 million square feet of material each year. That's nearly 700,000 square meters of mycelium per hectare. But what's truly remarkable is air mycelium's versatility. It slices two ways to create two totally different products: leather pants and pocket bacon. But before we get into the surprisingly stylish side of mushrooms, and yes, leather pants are involved, let's take a quick pause. While mycelium might be growing out of the dark, your personal data shouldn't be. It's kind of shocking how easy it is to find your personal details online. Well, today's sponsor, Incogni, can help you get to the source of the problem and restore some of your privacy. Data brokers have made a business out of collecting your personal details and selling access to it, and sometimes they sell your info to some pretty shady people. Incogni can help you with this. We have the right to request that data brokers delete our information, but it takes a lot of time, effort, and sometimes legal action. I signed up for Incogni, gave them the legal right to work on my behalf, and then just sat back and relaxed. They also just launched a brand new tool called Custom Removals for subscribers to their Unlimited plan that's really cool. It allows you to flag an unlimited number of sites where your data is exposed. It couldn't be easier. If you want to take back some of the control around who has access to your personal information, give Incogni a try. Take your personal data back with Incogni. Use code UNDECIDED at the link below and get 60% off an annual plan. Thanks to Incogni and to all of you for supporting the channel. All right, now back to those mushroom leather pants. Seriously. Slabs of mycelium can be compressed with rollers and embossed to create an all-natural looking leather, with stretch, drape, and toughness of the real thing. That's a huge win for sustainability, because the traditional tanning process for cowhide is both chemical heavy and water intensive. Ecovative's Forager Leather, on the other hand,
it gets to skip like the nasty parts, right? Like all the chromes, all the salts, all the deputrification. None of that has to happen. It just instantly goes in.
Right.
And there's also other added benefits where it's less time in the tumbler. So it doesn't take as long and as much water. So less energy, less water.
Right.
Mycelium leather is also grown in just 9 days and produces half the emissions of conventional leather. It's cheaper too, ringing up at just 18 to 28 cents per square meter, compared to $5.81 to $6.24 for raw cowhide. And unlike vinyl and polyurethane-based pleathers, Forager leather is biodegradable. It breaks down like real leather instead of hanging around like plastic. Since I last covered Ecovative's mycelium-based leather, the company has partnered with Danish footwear brand Eco. Together, they're refining the leather-making process to produce custom-grown materials for shoes and accessories. And in 2025, Ecovative is scaling up in a big way. It's set to commercialize its leather with major brands already lining up like Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, and Veja among them. And Ecovative isn't the only company advancing mycelium-based textiles or mycotextiles. Mycoworks, based in California, is turning reishi mushrooms into luxury leather. It's already found its way into Hermès handbags. GM even explored Mycoworks fabric for several interior parts, including matte pockets of their Soleil electric convertible. I guess that makes mycelium the Cadillac of leathers? If turning mushrooms into leather wasn't surprising enough, Ecovative also found a way to make bacon out of mycelium. They call it My Bacon, or maybe it should be called Mycelium. It's already on the shelves in over 1,400 stores, and it's made from thick slabs of air mycelium.
They get harvest, they get frost, and then it goes into a bacon plate where you get slices.
If you take strips of air mycelium, soak them in a brine of sugar, salt, and natural smoke flavor, boil them up, and then add a little coconut oil, then you've got artificial bacon with a meat-like texture that fries up in a pan. That's exciting because about the only two things nutritionists seem to agree on are the benefit of eating more plants and less processed meat. It's also exciting for the planet, as making this bacon uses a lot less land, water, feedstuff, and, well, pigs.
This growth chamber is 1 acre of plants, okay, of all of them.
Okay.
That can do 1,000,000 pounds of my bacon annually on 1 acre of land.
That's 1,000,000 pounds of bacon made from agricultural waste and water, with minimal energy inputs and compostable waste. But what all lovers of bacon need to know, and I am one of those people, it passes the sizzle test. And on a BLT or burger, I can say from experience, it tastes fantastic. I'm not the only one who thinks so. My bacon is the fastest growing plant-based meat in the Northeast US, selling 3 times as fast as competitors. It's no wonder Ecovative just secured $28 million in funding to triple capacity and set up an additional farm in Canada. Later this summer, they're rolling out a pulled pork. I got to try it on my visit, cooked up with barbecue sauce, and it was surprisingly good. Tender, smoky, and close enough to the texture of the real thing, I almost forgot it was made from mushrooms. So we've got bacon and leather. What about packaging materials? It feels strange to list those together, but yet they're all part of a growing list of uses for mycelium. A startup called Gob in San Francisco, California, is turning Ecovative's spongy mycelium foam into single-use earplugs. In France, Kaz is developing surfboards with mycelium cores and bio-based resins. And in the Netherlands, Loop Biotech is growing biodegradable coffins from local mushroom species and upcycled hemp fibers. Mycelium is also a powerful sound dampener, and Mogu, based in Italy, is using it to build a sustainable acoustic wall tile. In the Samarust House, which is a glamping cabin designed by the Czech Technical University to look like a cluster of parasol mushrooms, mycelium wasn't just cladding for the interior walls, it served as insulation panels too. Even the stools were grown from mycelium, which is probably the first time I've seen literal toadstools incorporated into interior design. All this architectural experimentation is surprising considering that mycelium isn't typically considered for weight-bearing applications. But when grown the right way, with the right agricultural waste, mycelium bricks can be surprisingly strong. An initiative called Mycohab has built a one-bedroom home in Namibia using bricks made with oyster mushroom mycelium and biomass sourced from invasive encroacher bush. The team claims that pressing and baking these bricks makes them stronger than concrete. Their hope is to someday produce these bricks from local materials at a low enough cost to provide fire-retardant housing for communities that need it most. We don't have to wait for someday to see homes constructed with mycelium, though. In 2025, a 316-unit affordable housing complex called The Phoenix is set to open in West Oakland, California, featuring exterior cladding made from mycelium panels. These 36-foot-long or 11-meter prefabricated panels are grown from Ecovadis mycelium and hemp blend in giant molds, then encased in a fiber-reinforced polymer shell for durability. The panels will serve as thermal insulation, cutting energy costs by keeping the building cooler in summer and warmer in winter. Mycelium is also naturally fire-resistant and has impressive sound absorption capabilities, which is perfect for this housing complex built next to a busy freeway. The truffle on top is that the mycelium cladding is also carbon negative. You might be wondering how smart it is to incorporate mold into a building structure, but this is only the root-like mycelium. That's not the fruiting body and definitely not the fungus spores. And once the mycelium is matured, it's baked at a low temperature to kill and stabilize it. But what if we didn't just build with mycelium, but what if we let live mycelium do the building? It's an idea that's truly out of this world. NASA is exploring whether living mycelium could be brought to the moon or even Mars to grow a habitat. At the NASA Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California, scientists are exploring whether astronauts could one day unfold a lightweight frame seeded with dormant mycelium, then just add water from ice deposits and wait for the structure to take shape. Unsurprisingly, pulling this off won't be as simple as throwing together some cup noodles. To make this work, they'd need to grow mycelium alongside algae to provide oxygen and food for the fungus. And to shield it from cosmic radiation, NASA plans to use a type that produces melanin, basically mycelium that can tan. Soon they'll be testing whether mycelium can grow in low orbit, bringing this technology closer to the moon than ever before. Space isn't the only frontier for living mycelium. Here on Earth, scientists are finding wild new ways to tap into its natural abilities, like turning it into living sensors for robots. At Cornell University in New York, researchers took advantage of mycelium's natural aversion to light to create a living sensor for biohybrid robots. They grew king oyster mushroom mycelium around an electrode and flashed it with light, triggering electrical signals within the fungal tissue. An electrical interface in the robot captured those signals and converted them into digital information, prompting the robot to move. The mycelium wasn't just an on-off switch, either. Different intensities of light made the robot speed up, slow down, or even shift direction to move away from the light. Mycelium is incredibly sensitive to its environment, detecting not just light, but also chemicals, moisture levels, and even nearby plants. The Cornell team hopes that one day mycelium-based robots might be used for environmental monitoring. The vision is to let biohybrid robots take cues from the soil to determine just how much fertilizer is truly needed, reducing excess fertilization and therefore chemical runoff. We're talking sustainable agriculture on top of sustainable construction, consumer products and clothing, food and packaging, all from mycelium. These humble fungal threads are one of the most exciting materials to come along in decades because they're grown, not manufactured. Mycelium materials have the potential to replace plastics and foams that are derived from petroleum. And when they're worn out or out of style, they don't clog up landfills for hundreds of years or pollute our oceans or us with microplastics. Instead, they break down right into the soil, enriching it with nutrients that fuel new plant growth. This is the essence of a circular economy. Products that aren't just biodegradable, but regenerative. Mycelium is part of a cycle, grown from agricultural waste, assembled at a room temperature with minimal energy, and composted right back into the earth when it's all done. Nothing wasted, everything renewed. The best part is that mycelium does all this without sacrificing performance. It makes for sturdy foams, resilient leather, and even pretty convincing carnitas. But what do you think? Should we swap BLTs for MLTs? Or do mycelium alternatives psych you out? Jump in the comments and let me know. And be sure to listen to my follow-up podcast, Still To Be Determined, will keep this conversation going. And thanks as always to my patrons for your continued support and helping to keep the channel going. Keep your mind open, stay curious, and I'll see you in the next one.